This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
Thank you for tuning in to Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Ben.
And I'm your co-host, Mandy.
And this is episode 4.
All right, I got to fangirl out a little bit here because I'm really, really excited for this episode because I'm a huge Halloween fan and it's totally awesome that we get to talk to Christina Cleave, who took on the role of Linda in Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Totally. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Totally. Thank you for having me. Thank you for totally having me. Totally.
To start off, are you a fan of the horror genre?
So now I am, but I didn't grow up with it. So it was not kind of a part of my life growing up at all. In fact, no real pop culture was. I didn't really watch a lot of movies, except for like E.T. and, you know, kind of more basic main, you know, streamlined main, what do you call it? Mainstream. Can we tell them quickly that I'm on a juice cleanse?
So, yes.
So that they know. Girl, you just did.
So anyway, so, and we used to go to see a lot of theater and we used to go to see a lot of live shows in New York. So I never really watched, I remember I watched one horror movie when I was maybe like 10 or something and it freaked the shit out of me. It was Nightmare on Elm Street. And it was late at night at a friend's house. And she was like, look, let's watch a scary movie. And she was like the bad girl who always was a bad influence. Like she told me what sex was, you know, like, I was like, what? I was like that's disgusting. So she showed me Nightmare on Elm Street and I was so scared. I was mortified and I had nightmares then for like weeks afterwards. So I never watched another horror movie for a long time, until I did Halloween really. I did not know a lot about the original and I started to watch it before we shot because I didn't know what I was auditioning for originally. But when I found out, I was like, oh, maybe I should watch the original. And it was so different, I felt, than the vibe of Rob Zombie's. So I was like, I don't really want to be influenced by the original. I'll watch it afterwards, you know? And, but ever since then I've been watching horror movies like there's no tomorrow. So.
Oh, that's so good to know. I love horror movies. And actually, horror movie fans, I really think they're kind of the most diehard of all the genres out there. You had anybody come up to you like with any negative remarks about, you know, you guys doing a reboot? Well, not necessarily a reboot, just a different sort of Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so it's funny. Sometimes when I do a convention or something, somebody will come up to me and be like, you know, I hated the movie, but I really loved your performance, you know, or like, and I'm like, okay, well, you don't have to tell me the part where you hated the movie. Like, just tell me like my performance, like, you know, you're obviously getting my autograph. So you liked something about it, you know? But most people, I have to say, really loved the Rob Zombie remake. I find that sometimes it's the older generation of like really diehard original Halloween fans that are the ones who don't like the newer, like the Rob Zombie take on it. Actually, I shouldn't say newer because the Halloween Kills movie, it seems more like in the vein of the old ones. But so yeah, there is definitely, you know, but I find that a lot of people love the Rob Zombie ones and I love them. I prefer them to the other, to the original. I like the kind of grittiness. I like the fact that they talk about the little kid, you know, in terms of like what his background was and like why he became what he is. It's funny because a lot of people criticize that, but I just watched Halloween Kills last night and the entire movie of Halloween Kills is trying to explain why Michael is how he is, which is interesting.
Don't spoil it. I have to wait till next weekend to go see it.
I'm not telling you what they say, but it's just funny because originally, right, isn't the idea of Michael Myers is that you don't explain it, right? From the original, he just was this man who couldn't be killed, right? But you don't go into why. And
you got this empath thing going on. You're like reading into all of our next
questions. Yeah, absolutely. You have
really?
like three of our questions. So like, I want to hit on that a little bit since you went there. Obviously, you know, the Rob Zombie version, right, goes into a lot of psychological background as far as the environment that Michael grew up in, right? He's got this terrible home life, right? Where in the older version, he was, at one point, the doctor even says he's just pure evil incarnate, right? So it's kind of a supernatural versus psychological kind of world, right? So like you said, a lot of people had issues with that, but you see that as a strength.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I love how it was done in Rob's remake because I thought it was just really realistic. Like in terms of, I mean, obviously Michael Myers is not realistic, but I like the fact that it tried to tie it a little bit to reality. And that's what I really liked about those versions. Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think it's definitely more horrifying to think this person could be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, man, I wish I could talk about the Halloween Kills movie because I just watched it last night and I watched it on Peacock. I didn't even go to the movie theaters to watch it. So I don't know if I got the full experience, but
Oh, don't make that face. The originals.
Anyway.
Well, let's step back just a hair. Mentioning Rob, obviously, you know, he can be, to people that don't know him, obviously he's someone that would be an intimidating figure. How was the auditioning process? Was it a little bit frightening meeting Rob Zombie?
So believe it or not, the auditioning process was all on tape with the casting director, right? I went into the office of the casting director. It was called the Untitled Rob Zombie Project. So we didn't know what it was. We had no idea what movie it was. And I auditioned and I forgot about it. It was like in November, I think. And in January, I get a call telling me I booked the role. So I was like, wait, what? I didn't even have a callback. I didn't have, like, I literally just auditioned having no idea what I was auditioning for. And I guess Rob casts from tape. He likes to cast off of tapes. So he's not in the room with you. And I think that's actually probably for him the right call, because I think a lot of people would be really nervous to have him in the room, you know, which doesn't help the auditioning process, right? If you have like a rock star sitting in front of you. I mean, then again, if Steven Spielberg were sitting in front of me, I'd be even more nervous. So I guess at some point you have to get used to it as an actor. But that's how he likes to do it. And then we had a test where Scout, Danielle, and I went to the studio. And I think that's all like on the DVD where we did pretty much a test to see if we had chemistry together. And although Danielle and I were already cast, it was more for Scout to see if she would fit and if they wanted her. And it went well. And then we made a movie.
Awesome.
Nervous. Sorry, that first time. To answer your question, I was nervous meeting him when we did the test.
When you did meet him, yeah.
Because, you know, it was just like, yeah, he's a bigger than life personality. So, but he's very kind and he's very, actually kind of, he makes you feel comfortable. I think when you're a rock star, you have to know how to make people feel comfortable, right? Cause you know that everybody's going to be a little nervous or, you know, yeah. So.
Yeah, that's fair. You had mentioned that, you opted not to view, the original prior, filming, your version, due to the fact that it's such a different version. Having seen the original now, would you have changed anything about your interpretation of the role had you seen it?
No, I don't think so. No. I think it's funny because people, you know, I believe in this, and I think, you know, certain things are meant to be the way they're meant to be. And PJ Souls, who played the original Linda, I think that we actually had a really similar, performance, but like we, without even knowing what she did in the original, I feel like I was able to somehow channel that Linda and make it an updated version that people really appreciated and liked. I don't know why that happened. I don't know how I did that not having watched the original, but I think a lot of it was on the page. I think a lot of what Rob was in the script. So I don't know. I don't think I would have changed anything.
Nailed all the totallys though. You nailed those. Those were perfect.
Totally.
Yeah. And I didn't even know that that was a thing. I didn't even know that the totallys were a thing. They were just written in the script. And I was like, oh, okay, I can do totally. I think I already said totally in my life before. So it wasn't like something different. I still say it now. So it just fit, you know.
And PJ and I, go ahead.
Oh, PJ and I have very similar signatures. That's why it was so interesting. Sometimes when people bring a poster to sign, I'll say, oh, you know, it looks like I already signed that poster. And they're like, no, that's PJ. She signed that. And I'm like, what? I'm like, that looks like my signature, the way I write totally. Anyway, so yeah, we have a very similar handwriting as well.
Do people compare you to her a lot?
Not really. I mean, they definitely, I think they're just happy that that I represented the role in a way that they felt was, you know, fair, like and I don't know. They were just happy that, no, not really. I mean, not, sometimes they say, oh, you guys are both so nice or like, but I'm like, well, I mean, you know, you can say that about a lot of people, like, you know, but yeah.
How would you describe the dynamics between the original Lori, Linda, and Annie compared to yours, Danielle's, and Scout's? Because, I mean, you guys look like you had pretty good chemistry.
Yeah, it's interesting. So because I still am not, I mean, I watched the original movie, but I don't watch it on a continuous basis. Like, I haven't watched it in probably 5-6 years. I don't even know, like, I mean, I think they were great. I think we had a great chemistry. And what's funny is that I think as actors, you know, it's kind of your job to also have good chemistry. You know, I know that sounds, doesn't make it as interesting, but I think we are taught to be in the moment in our characters. And, you know, if you know that you're best friends with these girls, you're going to project or bring to that place your experience of what you would act like with your best friends, you know? So I think, but we do, I mean, we still do get along, you know, I think actually Rob has a great ability to cast, you know, he's really good at casting and he's really good at bringing actors together and kind of mixing and matching. And, and that's really the director's biggest job and biggest, obligation and responsibility is to cast and to, you know, which is funny that a lot of directors don't get to cast their own stuff anymore.
Yeah. Did you guys have to do anything or did you do anything prior to filming to, you know, kind of get to know each other?
No, only that test. We did that test, you know. Oh, wait, you mean Danielle and Scout and I?
Yeah.
No, we just got, I mean, Scout was young. Scout was like 17. So she was probably still like in school or something. And I mean, we did not hang out outside of set.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the movie itself was crazy intense. Was it an intense shoot?
It was intense for me, probably for different reasons than it was for other people. I don't think it was a very good shoot. I thought it was very well organized. I thought it was smooth. Things were run really well. I don't know how it was for Scout because obviously she had to like die or not die, but like, you know, get stabbed or whatever a million times and had to run and scream and, you know, whatever. So it might've been more intense for her, but for me, the only intense really day was the one where I got killed and the rest of them were super fun. I was a little nervous because it was my first big movie. So for that reason, maybe, yeah, but it was more like happy nerves, you know, like excited nerves. It was more excitement. And I had, it was so, so awesome. It was such a great opportunity, but the scene where I die was obviously nerve wracking for many reasons.
Yeah, I can see that. I was going to ask you like, which is a very abnormal thing to ask a human being, but on the day you got killed, your scene was one of the cleaner death scenes. Were you happy that you didn't have to be involved with all of the gruesome gore and also Tyler's a pretty big dude, were there any kind of communications that you guys had prior to your death scene to try to protect you? Were you afraid at any point that you were going to be hurt during it?
So, yeah, I mean, that was definitely up, like there were stunt coordinators there. But what you do is when somebody strangles you in film, what you do is you put your hands like this. So their hands are like here, but I've got my hands over his hands. So whenever, so I'm in control of the strangle. It's like a movie trick. And it still looks super real because you would be grabbing their hands, right? But you just have them a little bit more down. And now if something hurts, like I will be the one who can go like that, you know? So he can't really hurt me or hurt my neck or, so obviously that was what we did. It was nerve wracking to be naked in front of him, you know, it was weird, you know, then he had to carry me naked. That was even weirder. I think they even like, anyway, but it was, so, you know, it was, but it was, he was very, you know, kind. And I know it's, he hates when you say this, but he was very gentle. He's very, he is a very gentle man, a gentleman. And so, you know, it went really well, you know?
Yeah. So as weird as it is to ask about, we got to talk about your sex scene. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
How do you prepare for a nude scene?
Well, that was my first and really only one that I've done. So I was definitely, you know, I think if it had been up to me, I would not have wanted to do it, but I knew that I could only do the movie if I did it. So it was like, you know, what, and also I'm European. So the nudity is strangely a bigger deal for me than it is for my parents and the rest of my family, because they all live in Europe. And my parents are from there, but I was born here. So I have like a little bit more of a prudish outlook, a little bit more of an American prudish outlook. So the sex scene was so interesting because the guy who got cast as Bob is a good friend of mine. And he was a good friend of mine at the time, but Rob did not know this. He went to Juilliard actually with Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac. And I used to hang out with them all the time. I used to go to all their Juilliard shows. Nick Minnell and I used to have the same manager in New York. Jessica and Nick used to date, and they used to come to my plays that I did at the Jean Cocteau Repertory. So literally Jessica Chastain watched me play Juliet in Romeo and Juliet. I had a huge crush on Oscar Isaac. Sucks that he's married, but whatever. He was married back then too, or was with his like long-term girlfriend. He always had somebody. It was so annoying. But yeah, Nick Minnell was a really good friend of mine and I'd known him forever. So when he got cast as Bob, who I knew I had to have a sex scene with, I was like, this is crazy. Like, how is that even possible? Like what a better, I mean, that's a great situation because I didn't feel as nervous because I already knew him, you know? So it was, you know, you kind of just suck it up and you're like, you know, you kind of go into like a zone. You don't even think about it. Like it's not sexual at all. Right. You know? Like I remember I see some of those photos and he's like grabbing my boobs and I'm like, I don't even remember him doing that. Like, you know, it's not like I was paying, you know, it's like you kind of just zone out and you just do what you think would look good on camera or what you think, you know, the director wants or, and obviously I think we had bottoms on, you know.
So Rob didn't like block the scene. I mean, he left it up to you guys to kind of create the experience.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, he may have said like Christina should be on top or something or, yeah, but we kind of, you know, Rob is really into improvising in terms of like, as long as you give him the substance of the scene, I mean, he's really open to you exploring it, bringing what you want to bring and then maybe fine tuning it. Yeah. But it was cool. I'm glad it was Nick, you know.
How long was did you guys actually have to shoot for that? The sex scene as well as the death scene. I mean, were they like consecutive or did they do them together? Or what
I think it was one day, actually. I think it was one consecutive. Yeah. I think we shot all of that stuff unless I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know if we shot the sex scene separately than the death scene because obviously Nick would not have had to be there for the death scene. I think we shot it in 1 or 2 days for sure. Yeah. It was pretty fast. The whole shoot was pretty fast. What?
Did it take a toll on you, like in any way, to have to be naked around a bunch of people for an extended amount of time?
Yeah, no, that was definitely, that was at the end of that day. I definitely, when I was driving home, I cried. Yeah.
Oh.
But it was more of like, it was weird. It was partly tears of like traumatic feeling, but it also was a partly like relief and a release almost. Yeah, it felt felt good actually to get it over with and to release all those feelings. And yeah, but I definitely did. It was intense, and I processed it. Yeah, so I didn't.
It's kind of a weird question, but Ben wanted me to ask. So when you do interviews, do you ever think about, oh my God, these people have seen me naked?
I didn't want her to ask. It was just a question that came to my head. I would think about it.
No, you know what? I don't think about that, but I think about it sometimes with like people in my life who are like somebody who comes to my house who works here as like a painter or something, or somebody who like my parents have hired to do the plumbing or something. Like, I don't know. I literally, so some of them are Halloween fans, right? Yeah. We had somebody who was mowing the lawn over the summer who asked me to write autographs for like his whole family. And that's when I think, oh gosh, like, has this guy seen me naked? Like, is he like watching that movie on repeat and looking at me naked? Or is he like, he saw it once and that's good enough, kind of, you know? So yes, is it a little weird when people come to my home and I think about it? Yeah, that's where I get a little bit, or when I'm starting to date somebody, because then I'm like, most people that I, well, that's not true. My ex-boyfriend was actually a huge Halloween fan. So he'd obviously seen me naked. I guess you just get over it at some point. You just stop thinking about it. I think I used to think about it more.
Yeah.
Well, but at some point, you just got to pick and choose your battles, like what you think about every day. The things that bother you and the things that don't, like, or that should and should not, I guess.
Yeah, I just think of bizarre things. That was one thing popped in my head. I think it was something I would think about. But
he was afraid to ask.
No, it's a good question. It's definitely a good question. It's definitely a fair question. I've never, you know, it's interesting because I, it's a good question.
Well, I know you do horror movie conventions, kind of in the same line. I mean, obviously you said about people coming to your home can be a little bit nerve-wracking, but have you ever had any strange interactions with people in conventions, odd fans or anything worth mentioning?
They're never anything bad, but there's a fan who used to come every time I was at Spooky Empire. He used to come with his mom. The only reason I say used to is because I was at Spooky in April and he was not there. So I hope he's okay. And I hope his mom is okay since the pandemic, you know. And he used to bring this like huge pad and he used to be like, can I draw your feet? Can you take your shoes off? I want to draw your feet. Or can I draw like, you know, your leg? And so he was like, every time I was at the convention, he would want to draw another part of my body. And his mom was there and I really liked his mom, but it was really weird. Like it was like, and everybody around me, and even to this day, they're like, if we see that guy, we're going to protect you. And I'm like, I mean, he wasn't hurting me. He wasn't doing anything, you know, but it was more annoying and weird than anything.
Were the drawings good?
So.
In case
I mean, I give him credit for trying. I give him credit for like working so hard at something, you know?
I mean, I honestly think that it might actually be a little bit weirder if he draws like your toe and it's like perfect, where you like look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, that's my toe.
Yeah, that would be, yes. Yeah. He did give me, I think, a drawing once. And it was like, yeah, it was okay. It was not, but you know, I mean, I don't know. He might've had some, you know, issues. And I just like, I was like, oh, you know, it's good, entertaining for him. But anyway, yeah, that's, and sometimes people have brought me nude screenshots to sign, not in a long time, but they used to, and I don't sign them. So
yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Like when you were talking about the person signing your whole family, I'm like, clearly people have the ability to take any scene and make it into a, yeah. So I was going to ask you if that happened. So
I think that's so annoying. See, because that's not the reason film was made. Like film was made to be a moving picture, you know, and it's not meant to be a still. It's not a photo shoot. You're not, you know, you don't have makeup on like in a photo shoot. You're supposed to look realistic. You're not, you know, the lighting is not, the way photos are done is very, very specifically based on lighting, you know, and the way that like angles and, you know, so that's why they look a certain way. A film is not shot that way. We're shooting it to be a realistic scene. So when you take a screenshot from that, it's just so unattractive. And it's like, why would you even want, just because you just want to have my photo, my body naked? That's so lame. I was like, lame. Why don't you get a nice Playboy?
It's really weird because obviously your art is your interpretation and projection of that character, which has zero to do with that photograph, right? So they're not even appreciating your art. They're appreciating something else, right?
Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of like, this was not ever meant to be a screenshot. And it's only since the internet, right, that this has become a thing. And it's unfortunate because I think what happens is it makes people, even directors and actors, not want to do nude scenes when having sex is a totally natural thing. And you should be able to have a sex scene in a movie, but people don't want to do it because they're scared of the screenshots, right? I would totally do it more likely if there was not the internet and a screen still of it where you couldn't like back in the day, you probably had to take a real photo and get it developed. And then you look like a creep. So you don't do that, you know, like, anyway.
Yeah. Right. Do you have any clue when your next convention will be?
I'm supposed to be going to Germany in early November. And then Pittsburgh in the end of November.
Very similar places, Pittsburgh and Germany.
So we'll see. I don't know. I haven't gotten tickets for either.
So off the topic of Halloween for just a second, I just watched Sinister Seduction, which loved it. How was that to shoot?
So that was actually really fun. I mean, we were in Miami, we were shooting in the nicest locations. It was warm. They put us up in a hotel by the beach. It was great. And Tanner was wonderful, but I'm just going to put it this way. When I got that script, it said, young mom, and the kid was obviously 18 or 19 and had been left behind and was still in high school, right? So it says in the description, he looked much older than a high schooler, right? So when I get to set, I hadn't even been told who's playing this kid who I have to make out with. And it's freaking this guy, Tanner Buchanan, who at the time was not well known, and he had been shooting Cobra Kai, but it was on YouTube. And he's looked to me like a 15-year-old. Like, I was like, this guy looks like he's 15. Like, how am I going to make out with this guy? It was the weirdest thing. I literally was like, this is so awkward. And we made it happen, and we became really close on set. You know, it was a really, it was a wonderful shoot. I wish that now he would return my texts. He told me I was his 8th favorite person in his life.
Oh my God.
You're out there. I guess now I'm like down to what? 100? That fast, huh? They get famous. They forget all about you. But it was, the locations were great. He was great. It was fun. It was a fun role. It was my first mom really role.
Was it fun to make out with him? Because he's such a cutie.
Yeah, it was. I guess it was, we actually both did a shot before we did that. We were not supposed to. You're not supposed to do that. But we were both so nervous because for me, he was way too young and I was too old for him, So it was and I felt like I had to be the mature kind of adult, who was very respectful. And I I don't want to do anything wrong. I mean, he was 20. It's not like he was 15, really, he was 20 as an adult. But I just felt like I didn't, you never really use tongue when you're kissing on camera. You just kiss as if it's passionate, but without tongue. But it's funny because when we were talking about it, he's like, well, so you're not going to use tongue, right? And I go, no, I'm like, that's not. And he goes, well, because my first on camera kiss, the girl stuck her tongue in my mouth. And it was so I was freaked out. And I was like, well, don't worry. I've been doing this long enough. I know not to stick my tongue in somebody's mouth. It's a beginner mistake,
but did not know that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if you are having some kind of super passionate scene and both actors agree to it and the director really wants it, and it's really about the kiss, and maybe you could do that, but really most of the time you don't need to do that. Right. It's not really you're not doing a close-up on the mouth or on the faces while they're kissing. I mean, it might be very brief and then you cut to something else. So it's, using your tongue is obviously very, intimate. So I think it kind of saves the actors from keeps it from being too over the top, you know.
I can't believe we're sitting here talking about when to use tongue and when not to use tongue. That's just like...
Here's a piece of advice though. Use tongue in real life.
In real life.
In real life, use your tongue.
Moderately, don't clean somebody's teeth though. That's disgusting.
No, don't. I think that is, you're right. That is so gross. That is so gross. Don't
what, do what? It is. Clean their teeth?
You know, like,
I had somebody try to do that.
Mm-hmm. No, it's
okay. Fair enough. All right.
We
had talked about earlier how this wasn't one of our initial questions, but since this is a podcast that deals a lot with also paranormal stuff, let's hit us if you have time. If you don't, let me know. Hit us with the Indian burial ground spirit story.
Okay. Well, it's a very, very fitting that I'm doing this interview from this bedroom where it happened. So yes, there is a Native American burial ground below us here. And when they were excavating to build something, they hit it, right? So they disturbed it. And although I do believe they kept an area for it to honor it, they still disturbed it at some point, right? And who knows if it's really the original burial ground or if they, you know, made an 1-acre lot into a 10-foot lot. I don't know. I haven't seen it. So one night I did have a dream, and I feel this place is very clear from, it gets very positive energy up here. And, but one night I was sleeping in this bed and I remember like waking up. And I was like in this in-between place between sleep and being awake where you are aware and conscious, but you're not, but you're still in the dream world. So it's like, I don't know what that's called, but it's like this in-between world. Mm-hmm. And I just, my eyes were still closed and I had this dream about this beautiful Native American girl. Like she was maybe like, I don't know, either a young adult or early 20s. Beautiful, gorgeous. And she was like, you know, she came to me and I wanted to like reach out to her or something. And then she turned into this demon witch or something, you know? And I remember thinking it was so scary. And I remember knowing in my weird state that I could not look her in the eyes, that I had to get rid of her, but I couldn't look her in the eyes. And so I had to use like all my force. And this was in this dream. Like, and I was using my physical, my energy to push her away. And by not looking her in the eyes is also how I beat her. Because I guess she wanted me to look her in the eyes. And I knew I can't do that, or I shouldn't do that, because that's how she would get to me. Mm-hmm. So, but it was so weird because I felt my whole, everything about me was pushing this really dark negative energy away. And I actually ended up caging it, putting it in a cage, like a physical like cage. And then I remember it, like somebody pulled it away. And I remember as it was being pulled away, she said, oh, well, don't worry. I can get out of this cage. I can get out of this cage. And I was like, well, and I knew I still couldn't look at her. Still couldn't look her in the eyes. But I was like, well, you're not coming back here. Wow. And it was really interesting because I've never had a dream like that where it was so, I was really fighting something in this weird in-between state. Like I definitely feel that had I let it in, it would have been a different story, you know, maybe it was just passing through, maybe the spirit was just passing through, and maybe she was just, I don't think it was a demon. I think it was, she seemed more like a witch, but like a angry, mean, scary, dangerous witch. So mm-hmm. Not like a good witch, you know? Again, yeah, it didn't. And she wanted to hurt, you know, she wanted to be destructive, but I don't know. I fought it away, and I knew I had to finish that before I could even open my eyes. Like I had to deal with it, and then I could wake up. Wow. It was intense. It was scary and was intense, but it also was satisfying because I was able to keep it at bay.
If you can do that, you can totally come ghost hunting with us.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe, you know, as long as there aren't any much more, you know, darker spirits that want to come my way.
It's interesting that a lot of people would write that off and say you were just dreaming, right? But how is it possible that something that you weren't thinking about before you laid down, something that you would never think about ever, right? Your subconscious mind is going to play this back to you when you're asleep. It doesn't even make sense, right? It can't be.
Yeah. Well, also it was weird. Like I wasn't really sleeping. It's hard to explain because you know how you have dreams. Like I know the difference in my dreams. I dream so much ever since I was a kid. Like I've dreamt prophetic stuff that's happened. I dream, of course, regular dreams that work through my subconscious. And I know I've had lots of different kinds of dreams and I know which ones are which. And this was something I was awake kind of. I was there in my body. I could feel my body and I could feel, you know, but I knew I couldn't open my eyes yet. I don't know how to describe. I don't know what it's called either,
but I've definitely been in that
sleep paralysis, I think is what you might be talking about, Ben.
Well, I've had sleep paralysis too, though, and this was different. It was weird. Because I've had sleep paralysis actually in this bed too. It's the only place I've had sleep paralysis. Maybe there is something in this room.
You want me to come clean your house?
What's behind the walls?
Come clean your bedroom.
I don't sleep in this room anymore, actually. I don't sleep in this room anymore. I sleep in the other one. I just work in here now. I sleep in the guest room. Maybe there's a reason for that. Well, I'll let you guys know.
Seems like it might be for the best. Do you have any future projects in the works?
I am hopefully shooting a movie for Shudder in Chicago in December, if everything works out. I don't know how much I can say about it publicly, especially before we shoot and stuff. But it's a great script and it's, I know the director, he's awesome. So hopefully that will be going in December. And I'm supposedly starting to do a German audiobook that is it's like an erotica book. So I'm changing my name for it. Yes.
Yeah,
German erotica book. But I'm not sure if I'm gonna be able to do it because I have so much else going on. It takes a lot of time to do an audiobook. It does not pay that well. So it's kind of like, you really got to do it for the love of it. And I do love it, but, and I'm not going to tell you guys I have a fake name, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Happy on secret fake name.
You're going to have to figure it out on your own. If you ever want to listen to a German erotica book.
I'm assuming it's in German then, right?
Yeah. So that's
probably not going to happen.
Probably not like nobody listening to this podcast is probably going to be like excited about a German erotica book. But
hey, you never know. We've gotten a couple hits from Germany. So
you never know.
All right, I have one more super important question for you. All right. For the podcast listeners, I have to describe it. From my vision, I see this white thing with an arm, two black eyes, a little mouth. Is that an owl, a ghost? What is that?
Oh my god. I want to get up, but I don't. I want to hide like all my those papers, but it's a
seal. Looks like something she wore.
A seal. Wow.
Aww.
I was not thinking seal.
And he's
I thought he was a polar bear.
He the money goes to survive, you know, it's like Wild Republic or something. It's you know, they help give money to the environment.
Nice.
It's old. I've had it forever. I mean, at least for 10 years.
Your room's so clean.
Oh my God, you don't understand. Well, I'm just going to, actually, I hope you put this on the podcast where you say my room is so clean, because even with the like papers here and everything, you think it looks clean. Thank you very much. I will take that as a compliment.
I'll call your parents and tell them I think it's perfectly clean if you want me to. I'm totally fine with that.
They don't care because for them, it's not clean. They just don't.
And your bed's even made. I can't tell you the last time I actually made my bed.
Well, I do make my bed every morning, but I don't sleep in this one, but I actually do make my bed every morning. That's something that that does make me feel good, because it makes you feel like the first thing you've done in the day, you've accomplished something. It's just a simple task that I do. What?
I said getting into a made bed feels good too.
Yeah. Cause I am weird like that. Like I like to, before I get ready for bed, my ex-boyfriend actually made fun of me for this. He's like, you always like pull the sheet, like kind of, you know, down, then you get ready. So it's like you prepare your bed for going to bed. Nice. You know what I mean? So I like, it's like this, it's a little ritual, you know, and then I get ready and then I get in. Yeah.
No. So. Yeah. No, I just, that's too much work.
That is one thing that I do, but it's weird. It's weird living with your parents and, you know, trying to do everything that is good for, you know, trying to help them and trying to, you know, live in there within their rules, but also be like, come on, you know.
Well, when I win the lottery, you can come live on my farm. You'll have your own house.
Thank you.
And Ben doesn't know it yet.
Well, I would love that. Can you, if you win the lottery, just come build something here. Two Witches is coming out. So Two Witches is the movie that that I was just talking about, that it was just premiered in Sitges. It was at the Salem Horror Fest. It was at the Grimm Fest in London. So I think it's, yeah, I don't know where it's going to come out or where it's going to play, but it's called Two Witches. And I helped cast it. I helped write it. I am in it, but I haven't even seen it yet.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, that's supposed to be good. Yeah.
Well, I hope it like comes on some kind of streaming platform or something. I have about all of them.
So I have Two Witches is coming out. I'm going to be shooting in December for Shudder. I've got my movie that I'm directing, hopefully in the spring in Canada, called Motel 13. And I've got two video games that I've also been working on that probably will come out next year. So, but I can't say what they are either. So it's so frustrating. Maybe when you actually release, when are you going to release this? In October,
November.
Next Saturday. Okay. Yeah. So Two Witches is probably the only one I can, I guess, you know, when I probably say the name of the other movie, I just won't, maybe, I don't know. I just don't want to ruin any, you know.
Can you talk about Hotel 13 at all?
Motel 13?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Motel 13 is a movie. It's going to be my directorial debut. And if everything goes well, we'll be shooting in the spring in Canada. And it'll be like an 18-day shoot. So not a lot, but, you know, good enough. And it's a great vehicle for a male actor in his 40s who I'm trying to find the best actor for. It's about this man who is looking for redemption. He's getting out of recovery and he runs into this family of temptresses who tempt him to Motel 13. And at first it all seems very nice until it just doesn't anymore, until he realizes he's actually a captive and is forced to do things he does not want to do. I'll leave it at that.
Nice.
God, it kind of sounds like hostage.
Not an actor, but male in his 40s right here, just throwing that out there.
And he's cute and he has rock solid abs if he needs to be shirtless.
Do you see a movie called Hostage? Hostage?
Hostage?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. Have I?
Oh, don't watch it. It's horrible. It's gross.
Okay.
It's like people go overseas and pay to torture people.
Oh, Hostel. Hostel or
Hostel?
Oh, there is a movie called Hostage too, but I'm not sure what it is.
Hostel's one I was thinking.
No, it's not going to be like Hostel at all. That's an Eli Roth movie, right? I have very, very different sensibility than Eli Roth. Not to say he's not a great director, but it's very different. So no, it will not be like, it'll be more like Get Out meets Midsummer meets Leaving Las Vegas or Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, not Leaving Las Vegas, Fear and Loathing.
Are you going to act in it?
But there will be some good gore, some good, just enough to make it mean something.
Well, that's good. Are you going to be in, or are you just directing?
I am thinking about being in it, but it depends who I cast. I know this is really hard. There is a role that I actually wrote for myself because I rewrote the entire script.
Wow.
So it's completely different than how it originally was. But I am, it really depends on the casting. Yeah. Cause I don't want to just play the character just because I want to, which is obnoxious. I want it to fit. I want it to be, cause it's a family, you know? So
wow, really cool.
Yeah. So definitely keep your eye out for Motel 13.
How can your fans find out what's going on in your world? You have social media?
Yes. They can find me at Christina Klebe on Instagram and at Christina Klebe on Facebook and on Twitter. So, but I would say I'm mostly on Instagram. So that would be the best place to find me.
Okay.
And also I have a website. I have a new website. It's www.christinaklebe.com.
Christina with a K. case yes. those don't know.
Yes. Well, you guys are amazing and cool. It's so nice to meet you, Ben. And Mandy, you're amazing. You're, I feel like our connection goes so deep into like another realm. Yeah, you guys are awesome. And I can't wait to listen to the podcast when it comes out.
Thank you so, so much for giving us this amount of time and just wonderful responses to everything. I think people will be very interested. You have been a true gemstone. I just want to put that out there.
Totally.
Totally rocking the gemstones. Totally rocking the crystals. This was so much fun. And thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
I want to come ghost hunting with you.
No, what we should do is book a private at Waverly Hills overnight, because we haven't been there in a while. And then the next day I can take you to see your horses.
Okay. All
right, thank you again.
Thank you guys so much. Bye.
That I think was one of my most favorite interviews. She's totally awesome to talk to and just very, she's got such a great energy. Like it almost makes you hyper. Like she gives you an energy boost or something. It was really great. I really, really had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. She was a pleasure to talk to. My guess is it's solely from the juice cleanse. I think the juice cleanse is sparking her energy.
Well, that's good because it usually has a opposite effect. So, hey, that's the perfect. There you go. For you juice cleansers, you can be as cool as Christina Cleave if you do a 5-day juice cleanse. All right, Ben. So for Through the Abyss podcast, this is Ben and Mandy. See you on the flip side.
Spooky stuff.
Hey, Ben, I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Since she got on, do you feel happier?
I don't know if happy is the right word, but I do feel like she is a positive energy. She's very easy to talk to. I think you can feel a goodness there for sure.
Yeah, she like doses you. You dose people, dude. Like, I'm going to be hyper for the next 2 days.
I thought she was wearing a crystal also.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, is it like a little brush? Am I seeing weird?
Oh my God, that's funny. It looks like a little like...
like a paintbrush.
It's hold on, let me put my makeup on quickly. That's actually a good idea, you know, just have a little like blush necklace and you're just like, or a little lipstick.
When I first glanced, it looked like a clear crystal and now it's like black.
No, it's always been black. But here, maybe you noticed.
Shine. There's a shine.
Yeah, it's a tourmaline. And then so tourmaline is good for absorbing negative energy. So it's like a protector, right? So like anything that's around, like will go here before it affects me. And then what you do is you put it on a selenite plate at night. So the selenite cleanses, and then you can cleanse all the negative stuff that's got caught up in here. I don't know. I mean, I think the stones, the crystals do work physically because of what they are.
All I have is this thing, which is kind of like from Indiana Jones.
A Shankara stone.
Yes.
I have a bunch of those. I love them.
That's cool.
Why did you get that, Ben? I didn't think you were into stuff. You just like,
I'm a huge Temple of Doom fan. Saw it. I was like, I want it.
That's amazing. I'm too. I freaking love Indiana Jones. Yeah. See, I watched that growing up.
This girl.
I watched Indiana Jones over and over growing up. Like I know every scene of those movies. Like, you know. I think I was just a Spielberg. I think I was allowed to watch Spielberg. Like anything that Spielberg made, I was allowed to watch.
Yeah, I was also obsessed with E.T. You had mentioned E.T. earlier, for sure. Yeah.
It was the first movie I ever saw in the movie theater. And then I liked it so much. And my mom said, well, okay, you know, in New York City, you have to like actually interview to go to like pre-kindergarten. And she was like, well, what do you want? If you do well on your whatever interview, you can have whatever you want. What do you want? And I was like, I want to go see E.T. again.
Aww.
I wanted. And so I got to see E.T. again. So
I cried after E.T. for a long time. It's like a family story about how I just was like, why did he leave Elliot? I couldn't process that he had to go back to his own family. It's just like he left Elliot.
And I was always like, my reaction to it was like, I felt so bad for him. I was so much more associated with E.T. than the other family, which is so interesting, which makes me think the more I know about myself that I definitely came from another planet. Like, you know, because I don't think I was, I think I just, the fact that I watched that at such a young age and only felt for him. I was so scared for him. I was so frightened for him. I was like, so sad for him. I was like, oh, yeah. Just, oh my God.
When you're doing conventions, I know Dee Wallace does some of those conventions. You guys talk about E.T.?
Do we talk about E.T.?
Yeah.
Not really. I did get Dee Wallace's autograph on my E.T. poster. Well, now I need to get Drew Barrymore somehow. I had a dream about her the other night also, which is so weird. I had a dream that I was talking to her about acting in my movie and she really wanted to play the role, but her agents were like, "Me, you have to go through us." And I was like, "Yeah, but she already said she wants to do it." And I was like having lunch with her. Maybe one day.